The Weekly Warpipe.
What's up, guys? Russ Lyman here, and welcome back to The Weekly Warpipe, a podcast dedicated to retro video games, 80s and 90s toys, and all things nostalgia. This week, we're diving back and taking a look at controllers, starting with the Intellivision and ColecoVisions, the granddaddies of video game consoles, all the way up into the modern era. We're going to discuss our favorites and what we like and don't like about these controllers. So hopefully some make your list. It's going to be a fun episode, guys. Let's get into it. What's up, guys? I'm Russ Lyman.
What's up, guys? I'm NES Addict. I'm Jay.
Welcome to the Weekly Warpipe. Yes, we're back again. This is episode, I think, 14, Jay. I think we've done 14 episodes.
That's crazy, dude.
We haven't missed a week, so appreciate everyone coming back and listening. And if you haven't heard past episodes, they're all up on there for your listening pleasure.
I had somebody reach out to me on Instagram today and said they had been listening to it and really enjoying it. So
awesome. Yeah. When I was at Too Many Games, someone stopped me and they're like, dude, love the podcast. So glad people are enjoying it. And, it's not always video games. You know, we try to tackle some other stuff. We did candy last week and, clothes and stuff like that. Anything retro, anything you could jump into the warp pipe and go back and have some nostalgia about.
That's right.
Let me ask you, Jay, how was Southeast Game Exchange this past weekend?
It was a whirlwind, man, but I mean, it always is, right? That's how all cons are. Had a great time seeing a lot of good friends. Retro Rick came through. Actually got to hang out with Caleb from Phoenix Resale a good bit and get to know him a little bit better. He's a really super awesome guy.
Nice.
Riff was like the ghost that ever saw him. He was so busy doing all this stuff. I never saw him, but NES Complex was here. I mean, like, and then, my buddy Andy from Pac-Man Case lives here now. So he kind of got to help share some of the hometown duties that are usually bestowed upon me.
Yeah. Yeah. So helping out, setting up and all that.
Yeah. So that was nice. Yeah. It was really cool. It was a good time, man. They had lots of great games. I got some video out of it that I got to edit and got some nice stuff for the old awesome NES collection.
Excellent. Yeah. I was wondering if you took any footage, if you had time to film or not.
I did. And I'm going to get it all edited up, hopefully this weekend.
Nice. And you can find that on the NES Addict channel.
That's right.
I didn't get to go, so I just lived it through you guys in the group chat we had of people buying stuff. Rick really bought a Toys R Us Jeffrey statue.
I was there. He did it. The man is crazy. What can I say?
Now you have to ship that to him, right?
He worked it out where he can ship it to himself somehow. I don't exactly know what he figured out, but at one point he was trying to tempt me to drive it to him for $500.
Just have it sticking out the sunroof.
That's right.
Nice. Yeah. I didn't do too much, this week other than, film a few videos, and this Saturday, which you'll be hearing the podcast now, I'm in New York for a convention. It's like it's a block party / convention. So they close down a street. They're gonna have a bunch of vendors outside in like food trucks, and they had a bunch of themed cars coming out. So the person putting it together insisted that I show up with the Mario Kart car. So me and David Apuzzo are gonna be hanging out there. It's about a 3-hour drive from Connecticut. It's from like 10 till 5 or so. And then I have to drive back because I got work at 5 in the morning on Sunday.
Oh, yikes. Exactly. I was just about to say a 3-hour drive doesn't seem that bad, but if you have to go back the same day, it might be kind of rough.
Right. And then, that's what the GPS says. And then you hit traffic and God knows what else. So it ends up being a 4-hour drive or something.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine. Not good. Not good.
We'll see. All right. We'll get into this week's topic. We're going to be talking about video game controllers.
Yeah, I thought controllers would be a kind of a rad conversation because, I mean, it's pretty subjective. Everybody has different favorites. So,
right, probably depending on maybe what you grew up with the most or feels, nostalgia, who knows? We're going to dive back. I figure we start off pretty early on with the Intellivision. You could say Intellivision and ColecoVision because the controllers are very similar.
Yeah, I agree.
It's almost like a TV remote. If you've never seen one before, it's like a rectangle shape with like a knob on it and a bunch of buttons, like numbers, like 1 through 9.
Kind of a wild controller. I don't really have much experience with that one.
Right. I haven't played much of that growing up either. Just experience from when I worked at a video game store and we would take them in as trade-in. The games would come with a overlay that would go over the controller. So the corresponding buttons would then show you what they do in the game. It might be like jump is number 8 or what have you, fire is number 6, but the overlay would show you, which was kind of cool. So it personalizes it to each game.
It does, but I can only imagine that being somewhat problematic. Like, let's say you play this one game all the time and like, let's say 6 was jump. Then all of a sudden you're playing this other game and like 5 is jump or some different number. You might accidentally do the wrong maneuver, you know?
Right, right. So yeah, I didn't use those too much, but the first controller I probably touched was the Atari 2600 controller. Basic joystick and a button.
That's it, man. That's the same one I did as well.
Playing Pac-Man and all those classic games, Asteroids.
Yeah, what's the Space Invaders? And I definitely remember playing E.T.
Oh, right, right.
Because I fell in the hole and was instantly like, this game sucks. As a 5-year-old, I realized that.
You're like, moving on. I got to play something better. I played a lot Moon Patrol. It was like, you're like the in space with the car and you got to jump over craters and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember a whole lot about Moon Patrol.
But I tell you, my mind was blown when I realized that the Sega Genesis controller has the same ending port as the Atari controller, so I could play Atari with my Sega Genesis controller.
Yeah, that was kind of a game changer, right?
I'm like, I could use a D-pad to control Pac-Man or any. It's like way easier than this joystick.
This archaic joystick, exactly, yeah.
But I mean, it's certainly classic. There's emojis of it. And when you think retro video games, a lot of people think of that like Atari controller right there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the button is kind of helpful in knowing which way is up because it's not super clear at first.
Right. Yeah. So the button is in the bottom right side of the controller.
Or is it left? Is it right?
Yeah. I think it's because it's more towards a. Okay. I don't know. Honestly, it's been so long since I played it. Maybe it's not.
Who knows? Maybe
I don't have one handy I can grab and figure out.
I have one around the corner, but I don't think it's that important to look.
I will say with Atari too, they also had the paddles, a little twisty top and a button on the side. So you can play Pong, War, Arkanoid, stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I just sold some of those on Whatnot last week.
Oh yeah. Nice.
Yeah. For like a buck.
Cost more for the shipping.
Oh, I know.
But those are classic ones. What else you got? What are you thinking?
I mean, after Atari 2600, like, I mean, the next thing I remember is obviously my fave, the old NES. Do you have anything in between those two that bridged the gap for you?
No. Yeah. I pretty much went straight from Atari to a NES. I never got an Atari 5200 or 7800. I just had the 2600 and I never had like an Amptrax. Is that how you say Amptrax? Is that one of them?
There's
a Vectrex as well. That had a tiny little joystick in it.
It was almost like a television, right?
Like a television, yes. I thought you said an Intellivision.
No, sorry. like a television. Yeah,
right. It was almost, it came with its own monitor and the joystick was like mounted into the monitor and you could pop it out and it had a cord and then it had a tiny little joystick on it.
Yeah. Kind of wired in almost like a Famicom controller.
Right, right.
That's one we could talk about because it's like the NES controller, but the interesting thing about the Famicom controller, for those of you that don't know, is it was wired to the back of the system.
Right. Why do they chose the back and not the front? Because then you're losing distance because it has to wrap around the front to come to you.
That's a great question. I have no clue. And it comes with pretty small cords, so it's not very conducive to, you know, being able to like sit back and watch the television.
You would just
sit pretty close
or bring your console closer to you essentially. Exactly. But it did have a microphone in it.
Yeah. So like when you were playing Zelda, I know for a fact, like it killed Pol's voice.
Right, because in the manual it states that Paul's voice hates loud noises, so you're supposed to shout into your micro, into your controller.
Yeah. Die, Paul's voice.
But yeah, classic NES controller. D-pad, start and select, and two buttons, ready to go.
Yeah. They were, I feel like those controllers were a little bit more rounded than the NES. They had a little bit more of a rounded curve edge.
What's that? Which ones?
The Famicom version.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I said that. I never got to play one much, so I wouldn't know that. But what was round it was a dog bone controller.
That's right. Yeah. The dog bone, I think when the NES released the top loader, they took a little inspiration from the Super Nintendo.
Right. And they ended up rounding those edges, so it's not as harsh on your hands. And it's in the shape of kind of looks like a dog bone, hence the nickname.
What's your preference, Russ? Are you a classic square or do you like the dog bone better?
Yeah, I mean, I've got a dog bone controller and I can't say I used it that much. It's just, I feel like it's almost too small.
I completely agree with you. I never use the dog bone. I know a lot of people prefer that one, but those people aren't me.
I think you say, and those people are wrong.
And those people are wrong. Yeah. No, I find that the edges of the NES controller, my fingers just kind of sit like that on them.
Okay. And how you're playing it because of the
squareness there. I find it equally as comfortable, or if not more so.
I will say growing up, I did use a lot the NES Max controller.
Oh, yeah. I never used the Max and I never used the Advantage growing up.
Yeah, I was like, oh man, this comes with turbo, and it had this weird circular thing you would put your thumb into instead of a D-pad, and it would kind of like move around.
Like a cyclone motion.
Yeah, and it was smaller width-wise too, but I don't know, maybe I just thought it was cool because it had the turbo and everything.
And didn't it kind of like come down the sides, almost had like more of
right. It's like goes straight across and then diagonal.
Almost like a handle on the side.
Right.
Did you know that on that controller, there's an outer rim that you can also push like a D-pad?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
So you didn't have to use just the Cyclone.
Just there was a
like,
circle.
There was like a ring on the outside that you could use like a D-pad.
I have seen people mod them and put like an analog joystick in that instead.
That's pretty cool.
And then you can use it like a modern controller kind of.
Yeah, that's actually genius.
But yeah, that, and then I haven't used the Advantage controller, like the arcade stick, basically that much.
Yeah, I don't know what the real advantage is of the Advantage, to be honest with you, other than making you feel like you're at the arcade.
Right. I think that was the appeal, where it's like, okay, you can bring home the arcade to you by using this. I mean, I, you know, if you're at the arcade, I'm moving the stick very hard. It's going to move. And this thing doesn't weigh that much. It didn't even come with suction cups to like stick to the table.
Right. Right. I guess the advantage would be that it does have turbo and stuff like that.
And you could tweak the turbo. Like it had how much turbo you wanted it.
I think it had slow too. So you could like slow down parts of the game. Like let's say you're playing Contra. You want to like dodge stuff a little faster. Kind of see it coming.
So the slow was it would pause the game on and off repeatedly.
Yeah, like exactly. That's exactly what slow was.
So that worked out. Master System controller. You spent much time with that, Jay?
I had a Master System a few years back. It's like a second-rate NES controller.
Right. I think I'm trying to remember my history from Norm, the gaming historian.
But one thing that's interesting about the Master System is the D-pad is like solid. It's not like a cross. It's
right. Like, I feel like that. I think the Master System was the first to implement the D-pad, and then the NES controller kind of perfected it to what it is now.
Well, I would say that the Famicom came out in 83.
Okay.
Which, in my opinion, was probably earlier than the Master System.
That I don't know.
So I think NES still wins if you consider the Japanese version.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wins by default. There we go.
The more you know.
The more you know.
Watch someone light me up in the comments. I'm like, you're wrong. That's not how it went down.
Actually,
the Master System came out in 82.
Yeah, I didn't grow up with a Master System, so I never spent any time with that controller. Sega Genesis, I did. Yes, the 3-button big boy.
Nice. And then I guess next is moving on to the 16-bit era.
Right, right. Well, with Sega Genesis or Super Nintendo,
which I think came one of the greatest controllers of all time. I'll let you decide which one you think that might be.
That's probably the Super Nintendo.
It absolutely is. Yeah, the Super Nintendo controller was revolutionary in so many ways.
They added all the extra buttons. You had the nice curve on it. It felt good in the hands.
Yeah, I think the shoulder buttons were clutch.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially if you're playing, fighting games, you just needed that more buttons for it. Super Mario World. Man, I didn't do too much in that, other than you can move the screen.
Screen left, right. Exactly. But I kind of attribute the shoulder buttons to what you use now on like Xbox One and stuff, the little shoulder buttons.
Right, right.
Yeah, that was
the trigger buttons.
That was a brilliant idea. I don't know who thought of that, but they deserve a raise.
Someone thought of it, yeah. Because Sega didn't really implement that. They had 3-button at launch, and then eventually they did release the 6-button controller, which you had to upgrade if you were going to play anything.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat or Street Fighter especially.
Because other than that, you would have to hit start to swap between kick and punch on Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, which was terrible. Like, why? Why did they do that?
Just buy a 6-button.
I don't know. And the other thing I liked about the Super Nintendo controller was just the aesthetics of it. Like those, the purple and the grays.
Yep. Definitely like 90s-ish colors, I'd say.
I even remember thinking that the way it plugged into the Super Nintendo was so futuristic. It was like elongated.
Longer one.
You know what I mean? Like everything about that system blew my mind.
Nice. Yeah, it's certainly revolutionary. I remember seeing it at like Sears and Service Merchandise in the kiosks, and I was like, whoa, what is this?
Yeah. And then the Genesis controller, it was a bit bigger. As a matter of fact, I coined a term as a like 12-year-old. If I went to my friend's house, Scott Aiken, shout out to Scott Aiken, and played Sega Genesis at his house all weekend.
Yeah.
And when I came back, my Super Nintendo controller felt so tiny. So I called that Sega hand because I got so used to holding the big old boomerang of a controller that the Genesis had.
That's true. I mean, obviously, I guess it appealed to some people with larger hands. When they did come out with the 6-button, though, they ended up shrinking the size. It was smaller than the 3-button.
Yeah.
They crammed 3 more buttons in there and shrunk the size, however.
Yeah, exactly. What's the word I'm looking for? I can't even think of it. The people engineer. What a feat of engineering.
There we go. The engineers. Then moving on to Dreamcast.
Yeah, I think Dreamcast might have been next.
I'll say Dreamcast, GameCube era.
Yeah, I had a little bit of experience with the Dreamcast controller because my buddy Brad had it.
Okay.
But is it the one that had like the little thing you could push down in the middle?
Yeah, the UMD. Yeah.
No, wait. Did the Saturn and stuff come out before the Dreamcast?
Oh, you know what? It did. I never had a Saturn, so I have no say in the Saturn.
Yeah, I didn't have a Saturn either, and I never had one as like a a collector either. So
right. So sorry for all you Saturn fans out there.
Yeah, I don't really know.
I do know there's a cool Knights controller, like the game Knights was like a roundish controller, and I heard that's pretty fun to use.
Oh yeah, that was a wild one. That was kind of a strange controller.
Right. At least we mentioned that.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because it was very different. You know, it was like a circle, like you said.
Right. Very interesting. So I was
kind of weird to hold on to.
But yeah, with the Dreamcast controller, it had a unique where the memory card slid into the front of it, and certain ones actually had screens on the memory card where it would play an image on there while you're playing the game. And it had mini games in the UMD as well too, that you could play.
That's the interesting thing. The UMD almost acted as a controller too.
Right. Like a little, it had a tiny D-pad, like a Tiger handheld.
Yeah, that's so wild.
I thought it was very weird that they had the cord would come out the bottom of the controller, and then you would loop it around back, and it had a spot to clip it in to then go to your console.
That is weird.
But I guess they had to do that because the UMD went in on the top half, so they couldn't have the cord connect there too.
Makes sense. They thought of it all.
Yeah. So that one was pretty interesting, but
we forgot GameCube.
Well, I said
64. Did we talk about those?
No. Well, we're bouncing around. We don't have a list.
We're all over.
So GameCube, or N64 if we're going in order.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
The Trident.
That was a wild controller. Do you like that controller?
I don't.
I don't either, dude. I was playing this weekend. We were at Andy's house, Pac-Man case, and we were playing N64. We were playing some racing game. I was absolutely god awful at it because I didn't grow up with that system. And I was holding the wrong thing, and they were making fun of me.
Oh, you were holding the outer?
Yeah. What? Yeah. Yeah. Retro Rick was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I don't know, man. I never played this growing up. This is weird.
Like, where am I supposed to hold it?"
Yeah.
But I guess, it was something different. People are talking about it and it made it stand out.
It did.
Like the awesome colors that they came out with. That was something new where he could have different color controllers. They didn't have that with, Super Nintendo or NES.
That's true. All the fantastic colors.
Right. So that was pretty unique. I will say I purchased newer N64 controllers that a company's made, and it looks kind of more like almost like an Xbox One controller.
Oh, weird.
It's like a regular controller, not a Trident one.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So that's pretty neat. So if I'm going to play N64, I'd probably use that.
Yeah. I haven't even seen those. You'll have to show me that one day.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Then what, GameCube controllers? Possibly everyone's favorite controller, at least if you play Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I did not play Super Smash Brothers, but I mean, the controller at least kind of goes back to more of a familiar style from the 64.
Right, right. It kind of gave you two analog sticks. You had that tiny C stick in there.
Yeah.
And I did enjoy it. Well, I don't know why they made one big giant button and then a smaller red button, different sizes there.
Yeah. And one of them was even like a different shape, right?
Well, they had two circles and then it was like ovals for your X and Y or whatever it was. And then your trigger buttons.
You know, Nintendo, man, they're always trying something weird.
And then they took notice from the N64 and they did have, you know, different color controllers as well for the GameCube.
Yeah. I only remember the purple one, but
yeah, purple, black. Platinum, spice orange. I don't know what the white was called. Maybe Arctic.
Oh, they had a white one.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably got dirty. Pretty
imagine. Easily. Imagine. Yeah, I wouldn't. I would just put it on the shelf.
What's up next? Where are we at in the controller? Well, universe?
I will mention TurboGrafx. We didn't bring that up.
Oh yeah.
We wanted to go back a little bit. I mean, it had three buttons on that one, I believe.
Oh man,
it's similar. It's almost like an NES style controller.
Yeah,
but it had turbo in it.
But it had turbo, which was kind of like the cool thing about it. It kind of came
built
standard.
Yeah. I never played it too much. I played it at my friend's house, but it's pretty unique. Definitely good to bring up.
Not so much about the controller itself, but the console only had one port.
Right. You did have to get an adapter.
Yeah, the TurboTap. Like, what a stupid move, right?
More add-ons.
Like, I guess in their mind, all they were thinking was money. We can sell this port. But, I mean, I feel like as a consumer, you would just be like, no, I'm not buying that. If I have to, like, go out of my way to buy something extra.
Right, I'll just buy one-player games.
Exactly.
I will say before we skip over it, I don't know if you're any fans, but I never played it growing up. The Xbox, we got original Xbox.
Yeah. I had the original Xbox, and I was a big fan of Controller S,
right,
which I tend to think was a sneaky maneuver on Xbox's part.
Okay.
Because
enlighten me.
When I first saw the box, I read that as controllers, thinking that I was going to get two of them.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know it was called Controller S. What a stupid name.
So on the box for the system, it said Controller S. Like, yeah. Controller hyphen S or what?
There was no hyphen, but okay. My 23-year-old brain just filled it in the gap.
And yeah.
I was like, what? I thought I was getting two controllers. Now I got to go buy another one? And I was like, that's sneaky, making you think you get two. I mean, at least it was better than the Duke. I know a lot of people like the Duke, but man, that controller was a hoss.
Right. The Duke is basically a big, massive controller that came out.
A thick dinner plate trying to play video games.
Big old loaf of bread. Big old pumpernickel loaf.
Dude, with buttons. Exactly. It's like the wildest thing.
So yeah, I never played any Xbox growing up, but a lot of people swear by the Xbox 360 controller, where it kind of came. That's almost your standard gamer controller.
Yeah, the Xbox 360 was very similar to the Xbox S controller S, excuse me. And I thought the 360 was like the pinnacle of video game controllers. I even think that the Xbox One is a downgrade from that controller, in my opinion, but it's probably just because I played 360 so much more.
Right, right. Well, not to look over, PlayStation 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Those controllers haven't really changed much, have they?
Right. The original one, you just simple with your D-pad and your buttons and shoulder buttons, and then they added the analog sticks later, which made it pretty much that was the standard. So then when you jump to PlayStation 2, it was just that controller with the analog sticks.
Are the analog sticks off-centered like the Xbox, or are they side-by-side?
No, side-by-side.
See, I'm not a fan of that.
And then, yeah, when you got the PS3, it was the same thing, just wireless.
Yeah, yeah.
And then PS4, the same thing, but they added the middle button, like the touchpad.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that.
So, and then I haven't played the 5. It's little. Now it's like, I've got all this technology in it.
Yeah. I don't even know what a 5 is like. Never played anything past like the 3.
Right. But pretty standard controllers. That's what it's like. Did you grow up PlayStation or Xbox? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Definitely feels different in your hand going from those.
And then we kind of skipped over the Wii. That was kind of a, you know, iconic controller, because it's like
revolutionary with the motion controls.
That's right. Because it was the motion controls. But one thing I thought was cool about the Wii was, you know, you flip the Wii over on its side and it's like an NES controller.
Right. I thought that was odd. Like, you buy new Super Mario Bros. On the Wii and you're like, oh, wait a minute, I just got to turn it sideways. It's like old school Mario.
Exactly.
And you can actually, when you're trying to jump an old Mario, you know, NES controller, you're going like this. It actually works on the Wii when you're jerking your hands. You do just jump higher.
That's amazing. That's revolutionary too.
So that was fun. And then it did have the nunchuck. So it was kind of this tethered thing where you have your joystick in one hand and your Wiimote in the other. And, you know, you're playing boxing or whatever, what have you with it.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've boxed. I used to box so much that I would tear the muscles in my biceps. They would be sore.
Wow.
I mean, I would be throwing punches, dude. Like, I was playing like a Tae Bo or something.
It was really going in. I played a lot was the shooter games, like Resident Evil, Resident Evil Outbreak, and the House of the Dead. And it would be you could put the Wiimote into like a gun attachment. So you had a gun in this hand and your other with the nunchuck would be like your knife.
Yeah, so that's awesome.
Swatting at the screen.
I like that.
So that's pretty fun. So I had a good time with that. I mean, a lot of people hate the motion controls, but I had a great time playing the Wii, you know, growing up. Some people looked on the back of the games. They're like, oh, it's got motion controls. Forget it. I'm not playing that game.
The only game I ever really played for the Wii was Wii Sports. And now that I have the Wii U kiosk, we have a Wii hooked up to that too. We play a lot of Mario Kart too.
Gotcha.
And then there was the weird and wacky and wild Wii U controller.
The big old tablet.
It's exactly what it is. It's a tablet.
Did you coin the term Wii U hand?
I did not. That stopped with the Genesis.
Definitely weird holding that big tablet. I would oftentimes just get a pro controller and play, but then you're limited because then if you need to use stuff on the Wii pad, you can't.
Yeah. Yep. And then I guess Switch was next.
Yeah, in Nintendo's lineup. Basically a glorified Wii. You got your Joy-Cons with still motion controls. And you could feel some feedback in there with rumbling and stuff like that. And they had a lot of motion controlled games, or you could put them onto a grip and play that way, which is pretty unique.
I liked the grip. It wasn't perfect, but it worked if you didn't want to have to hold the Joy-Cons.
Right. So, like independently. So, okay, now it's more like a controller I can hold.
Yeah. And then they came out with like the Pro Controller, which is just like a standard. Like what? It's almost kind of like an Xbox 360 controller, right?
Right. It's very, similar in aspect to that and like weight and size and everything.
I love the Pro Controller. Do you like it?
Yeah. I have various versions of it. I bought some Power A Pro Controllers or whatever, third-party ones, but I do have like the official Pro Controller and, it feels great. It's got the rumbles in there. Rumbling certainly was a fun technology to immerse you into the game a little bit more.
Yeah, when did that come about?
I want to say PS3 had it.
I know Xbox. I'm pretty sure Xbox had it.
And Xbox 360 had it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But regular Xbox didn't?
No, I don't think it did.
Okay.
I don't remember it. I mean, I didn't play much Xbox. But if PS2, I don't think, did PS2 have it?
I want to say it did, but I don't know.
It's been a while since I opened up a PS2 controller, so I can't remember motors here in there.
Oh, well.
We're so used to, I guess, not because we're playing so many retro games that didn't have rumble.
Yeah. Yeah. Did we miss any?
I'm sure we did. They'll let us know. I mean, Virtual Boy controller, we talk about that quickly. It's got two D-pads in it.
Yeah, that was a weirdo controller, right?
So I'm like, what is that? You got some buttons and D-pads on both sides.
Yeah.
Like a twin stick shooter.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
Yeah. Let's see. Anything else? Just trying to go through systems.
Yeah, I don't know. Anything relevant to me.
Unless you count like peripherals where it's like, is the Zapper, NES Zapper, a controller or is it a peripheral? And that's a different category.
Yeah.
The fishing reel on Dreamcast, the maracas.
Yeah. The drum,
the bongo drums on GameCube.
Yeah. Super Scope 6. We're blowing good content for a different episode, Russ.
That's true. That could be a peripheral top 10 we can go through.
Yeah, maybe we'll have to add that one to the list.
Fair enough. I mean, I think we covered most of the basics of controllers, remembering which ones we enjoyed growing up and how far they've come.
Yeah, real quick, what's your favorite three?
Favorite three?
Yeah.
I hate to be all Nintendo. I would say Super Nintendo, NES. And then after that, it's a toss-up. Probably just go Switch Pro Controller.
Okay. Okay, we're two out of three. I'm going to say this NES, Super NES, and 360.
Okay. Throw the Xbox in there. Yeah, so I didn't play much of any of that growing up. So
yeah.
Sweet. I think that pretty much wraps it up for this episode.
Yeah, we did good.
Nice. Yeah. If you guys enjoy listening to us, we're on every week, Saturdays at 7 a.m. We're on Spotify, Apple Podcast, YouTube, pretty much anywhere you can listen to podcasts.
Open all your devices and listen to us on each one
At the same time. Get those views up. And if you want to check us out on YouTube, my channel is Russ Lyman, or you can look up Bit by Bit is my second channel. And Jay, where can we find you?
NES Addict on YouTube and on TikTok and Instagram. And now selling on Whatnot.
Excellent. All the good stuff. Sweet. Well, it's been awesome, guys. As always, I'm Russ Lyman, and keep your world fun bit by bit.
All right, man. You guys have a good week.
Later.